resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments.
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. It means you've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Okay.
And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
This is Mark. May I help you?
Yeah, hi, Mark. It's Sam Cedar calling from the Majority Report. I just wanted to ask, just to find out what the Creation Museum was all about.
It's being built by Answers in Genesis. We're a Bible-defending...
Yes, that, let's see, this is Kill Radio, and yes, that was our president. That was our president, Jaime.
Our president?
Describing what he thought was tribal sovereignty. this is the Kill Radio News, 6 p.m., Friday, Hassan, and that is the Whispers, L.A.'s own Whispers in the background. I play that a lot. That takes me back to my high school days. And I'm going to read you some stuff from the LA Times today. I have a great interview with the Log Cabin Republicans. And then we're going to have a little... And then my friend Evan is down here from Seattle, has a new CD out, and he's going to tell us a little bit about it. That's what you were listening to about an hour ago, which is I really like. I didn't know Evan was that political. He has a tune on there about Roe versus Wade. I thought Evan was the jazz guy. So we're going to go into go back into the Whispers, and then we're going to come back and read about this protest that was in Baldwin Park last week, Baldwin Park, California. It's really interesting. Okay, Hassan on Kill Radio, 6 p.m. News, Friday before 4th of July, 2005. Remember, Kill Radio just might save your life. I'm going to get into this now because I want to read two articles from the LA Times editorial section, and then I want to have save some time to talk to Evan. But let's see. Oh, and I heard that we lost the great musical talents of Mr. Luther Vandross today. I heard he passed away. Really, really talented man. I never met him, but I loved his music. So here's one to you, Luther, out there in the stratosphere. And this story is called Immigration Protest in Baldwin Park is Peaceful. It's from the Los Angeles Times, Sunday, June 26, 2005. No, this isn't from the editorial section. This is from Section B, the California section. Okay? It's called Immigration Protest in Baldwin Park is Peaceful. Let me set this up before I read it. What's going on here is Baldwin Park is a little suburb, right? About 15 miles east of downtown Los Angeles. And it's, Blue-collar working class. I used to know some people out here. I don't know too many people over there now. Let me see. What it is, they have a statue. Our new train and subway and light rail goes through Baldwin Park as a train station. And an artist about 10 years ago put some words in that said, they were written in stone. They said something to the effect of Baldwin Park would be better without you. And this like Minuteman group up north, they heard about it and they came down. They thought it was talking about them, you know, that the right wingers should leave California, and I guess, you know, but the artist who is Latino who made the mural about 10 years ago, she said they have it all wrong. It's exactly the opposite. And I'm going to read this article and quit yakking. And this is from the LA Times. It's called Immigration Protest in Baldwin Park is Peaceful. 60 people from a Ventura County group opposed to words on artwork in a Metrolink station are met by 600 county protesters, by Wendy Thermos, Times staff writer. Let's see. check my board here. You know, Kill Radio, you're your own engineer. A face-off Saturday in Baldwin Park over illegal immigration, sparked by a piece of public art, was peaceful despite authorities' fears of violence. Next to City Hall, where about 60 protesters opposed to illegal immigration waved signs and American flags, about 600 counter-protesters sang, danced, chanted, and beat drums to urge tolerance. It's not a confrontational us versus them thing. It's to show unity, said counter-demonstrator Rosa Romero, 25, of Los Angeles, as she took a break from painting signs. I'm here to show support for the community. Officials said about 20 people were cited for crossing police lines or trying to outflank officers by walking onto a Metrolink right-of-way. They were endangering themselves by being on the track, said city spokesman Adam Ortega, Ventura County-based Save Our States. Okay, let me start that again. They were endangering themselves by being on the track, said city spokesman Adam Ortega, Ventura County-based Save Our State. Ventura County-based Save Our State has been pressuring the city for 2 months to remove inscriptions on an archway called Danza Indignitas. Called Danza Indignitas. Where was that? Oh. At the Metrolink station. It staged a similar protest last month, which also was met with a large counter-protest. The group has acknowledged that it seeks to put pressure on the city to remove the monument by draining its resources through protests. The group, which is opposed to illegal immigration, believes some of the monument's engravings are anti-American. Specifically, it was better before they came, and this land was Mexican once, was Indian, and always is, and will be again. Save Our State supporter Henry Diaz, a marketing director from San Dimas, said the artwork represented a full-scale soft invasion of California by immigrants from Mexico. Racist speech should never be paid for with tax dollars, he said. The group believes the phrase, "It was better before they came here," is meant as a slur against whites. The artwork's curator, Judith Baca, who joined the counter-demonstrators, said the words actually refer to jeers directed at Mexican immigrants who began moving into Baldwin Park after World War II. She said both inscriptions are being twisted by detractors with agendas that having nothing to do with the artwork. Mayor Manuel Lozano said Saturday that his city of 75,000, which is nearly 80% Latino, strongly supports the publicly funded artwork, which has stood without controversy for more than a decade. He berated Save Our State for bringing disruption to his town, saying, They are individuals who are full of hate. Counter-demonstration organizations said Save Our State is fostering hatred against Latinos as part of a broader political agenda. Their intent is to create anti-immigrant sentiment as a distraction to the real problems in this country. We're in a semi-recession and spending hundreds of billions of dollars on an unjust war in Iraq, said Alvarado Maldonado of San Gabriel Valley. Neighbors for Peace and Justice, which helped organize the counter-demonstration. Save Our State members said they object to services being given to illegal immigrants and want borders secured. No one in this group has anything against immigrants, as long as they're legal, said June Hensley, a bus driver and resident of San Bernardino. The group's leader, 29-year-old Joseph Turner, said being vastly outnumbered did not bother him, noting that providing police would be costly to the city and mutual aid agencies that supplied reinforcements. Turner said, "Our aim is to make this painful. We want this to be Our aim is to make this painful. We want this to become expensive so that people will take notice. Scores of police from Glendale to Pacoima joined Baldwin Park officers with batons and riot gear to keep the two sides far apart. During most of the two-hour demonstration, police kept the two sides at least half a block apart by cordoning off the streets surrounding City Hall, but toward the end, tensions rose as the group came within about 300 feet of one another. Using bullhorns, the group chanted and insulted each other for about 20 minutes. Police and riot gear defused the situation by forming a human chain to escort the Save Our State members to their cars. And that was in Sunday, June 26, 2005, Los Angeles Times, an article by Wendy Tormos about the protest in Baldwin Park right here in L.A. County. And we'll keep an eye on that to see which direction that goes. I have that interview with the Log Cabin Republican that I'm going to play. But let me go into the Withworth for a little bit more. And then we're going to come back. I'm going to read this other article in the LA Times. This is in the LA Times editorial about John Bolton. Because we all know next week when Congress takes a recess, Bush is going to try and push Bolton through. But this is a great story by Rosa Brooks in the Times editorial last week. Okay, Kill Radio. Kill Radio.
Every day's like heaven, and every night just like paradise. 'Cause I found out that you were all that's missing. No one can tell what to do, 'cause you do it right. Oh, baby, you've got the right kind of love. Bad kind of love. You got what I need. Girl, don't just give it to me. Keep on, keep on.
That's more like it for an article about John Bolton. I have Clifford Brown in the background. And again, this is from the LA Times editorial section, Monday, June 13th, 2005. A nice piece by Rosa Brooks on John Bolton. Let me turn down Clifford Brown in the background. let me see. It's called Bolton's Broken World. Despite his well-earned reputation as a bully, despite his well-earned reputation as a bully and a blowhard, John Bolton, the guy who says it is a big mistake for us to grant any validity to international law, seems poised to become the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Anyone who doesn't see why Bolton's attitude is disastrously mistaken should picture his first days as ambassador in a world where no one grants any validity to international law. Hold on 1 second. Oh, okay. And I hope I'm not reading too fast. First, getting back to this article, sorry. First, Ambassador Bolton is surely going to want to whip all... Oh, I can't believe a typo in the LA Times, Jaime. Wow. I can't look. First, Ambassador Bolton is surely going to want whip...
Want to whip.
Want to whip all those foreign diplomats into shape. Particularly the French with their foie gras and snooty G-told-you-so attitude about Iraq. So maybe he will start by sending a letter summoning the French ambassador back to New York from the Riviera. But, Bolton would have a hard time sending his letter because in a world where no one grants the validity of international law, why would the French abide by the Constitution of the Universal Postal Union and related protocols? That's the treaty that pledges nations to deliver mail with foreign stamps. Without it, foreign postal officials would toss U.S. letters into the trash. I never knew that. So, no letter to the French ambassador. Fine. Bolton can focus instead on the Germans, who are also a real pain in the butt. What with their insistence on taking the human rights high road to make up for their Nazi past, Bolton could pay a visit to Germany, spreading the good news about U.S. leadership, and reminding the Germans about the Marshall Plan. Except that it would be hard for him to get anywhere if no one respected the Convention of International Civil Aviation of 1944. That's the treaty that permits overflights of sovereign airspace. Without it, sovereign states would be free to shoot down any foreign planes appearing overhead. So maybe Bolton's plane would be forced down over, say, Croatia. Now, it's fair to say the Croatians probably wouldn't be amused at a violation of their airspace, especially given that little misunderstanding they had with the U.S. a few years ago. Bolton might not recall it. After all, there were so many little misunderstandings with so many little countries. But the Croatians still remember how, under Bolton's leadership, the U.S. suspended foreign aid to the Croatians and other allies. Just because Croatia wouldn't promise not to turn U.S. war crimes suspects over to the international criminal courts, so perhaps the Croatians would arrest Bolton. Oh, wouldn't that be great seeing John Bolton in jail? Of course, as an ambassador, Bolton could try to claim diplomatic immunity, but in a world where no one accepts the validity of international law, Croatia would feel free to ignore the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations. Naturally, Bolton would demand that the U.S. Council be informed of his arrest, but because the Croatians would be using their copy of the Vienna Convention on Consular Relations as toilet paper, he'd be out of luck there, too. Bolton would just have to wait for the Marines to rescue him. They could, after all. Isn't the U.S. still the preeminent global military power? And even with all their recruiting woes, that Iraqi problem again, we ought to have a few guys left who could be spared for such a mission. Still, those things take time, so Bolton would have to cool his heels for a while. Maybe his jailers would let him watch CNN, but no satellite communications without the UN principles governing the use by states of artificial Earth satellites for international direct television broadcasting. Okay, you got the idea. Although many Americans associate international law with controversial issues such as disarmament treaties or the International Criminal Court, the overwhelming bulk of international law has to do with the mundane but essential ways in which nations cooperate to make life possible in our interconnected world. And if Bolton really believes that the international law is a dangerous evil, he has no business serving as ambassador to the UN. He should head back to law school for a little refresher course instead. To be fair, Bolton is also famous for remarking that there is no such thing as the United Nations, so maybe he's only interested in the ambassadorship because he sees it as the next best thing to retirement. Of course, if what Bolton really wants is early retirement, the Senate should just give it to him. And that was a great little piece by Rosa Brooks. Rosa Brooks is an associate professor at the University of Virginia School of Law, and she will be writing a regular column for the LA Times here. And again, this is Kill Radio. Let's go back into a little Clifford Brown. And I see Eben has came into the studio. We're gonna play a little Clifford Brown, and then we're gonna play this great interview with the Log Cabin Republicans, and then we're gonna put Eben's CD on and put one of the songs I want you guys to hear, named after a famous James Baldwin book, and then Eben's gonna tell us a little bit about it. For those of you guys who were listening earlier and want to find out how to pick it up, he's going to give you his website and CD and everything. Okay, so remember that Kill Radio just might save your life.
With Rich. Rich is with the Log Cabin Republicans, and we're talking about weapons of mass destruction. I would ask you again, Rich, where exactly are the weapons of mass destruction?
I don't think that there was any lack of evidence. I think it's finding them that is the challenge, and I don't doubt that they would exist or that they've been hidden.
So what was the imminent threat as a Log Cabin Republican of Iraq against the United States? What was the specified threat by Iraq to the United States that caused a preemptive strike the first time in history?
I think that he's shown the ability to spread that kind of terror. And
What was that? How did he show that?
Let's see, he's attacked two of his neighbors. He has gassed and killed his own people.
Where did he get the gas?
Probably Germany or France.
No, actually, where did he really get it, though, that we know about?
I don't know the answer to that.
In 1986, when Donald Rumsfeld went over. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think...
And sold him weapons of mass destruction?
I think there were probably other sources, if you've looked into your sources, too.
Indeed, but let's talk about Rumsfeld. Do you think that's somehow inconsistent with pointing fingers? I mean, what should we do to Rumsfeld if he sold these things?
I think that any explanation of how they get them is not pertinent.
So it's okay to sell weapons of mass destruction to anybody who wants them?
Well, no, of course not.
You just said it wasn't pertinent. But if Saddam Hussein is as bad as he is, there's no question about it, then how did how does arming him, how is that ever a positive thing? I mean, if he's so bad, and we know he is, and he gassed the Kurds, how is Donald Rumsfeld handing
the Kurds
in 1986?
So okay. I don't think it'd be easy for me to.
Then let's visit it philosophically. Okay. If somebody is an evildoer, a specified evildoer, akin to Hitler,
was of what time?
Any time. Which time was he not?
Well,
as a log cabin Republican, are weapons of mass destruction bad?
I think in the hands of terrorists who would use them for their own political gain, absolutely.
What about Israel having nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction, using them for what some might consider political gain?
Well, I think there's a difference between taking a nuclear weapon and going into, say, a wedding.
So Israel should have nuclear weapons. They should have weapons of mass destruction because weapons of mass destruction are good depending on who has them.
And their use, absolutely.
So it's good to have weapons of mass destruction, not inherently evil.
Not in and of itself, no.
And how did the president, when he said that weapons of mass destruction are evil and must be destroyed no matter what, is that consistent with that?
He did not say that.
What did he say?
Said in the hands of people who will use them for the sake of destroying civilian societies, not as a strategic military, progress. There's a difference.
But we have it on tape where he said weapons of mass destruction are bad and must be destroyed.
I mean, France has them as well. Are you going to?
So what should we do to that?
Your argument about France not having it?
They shouldn't have them either, should they?
Well, that's your opinion.
Well, what if they sell them like you said it was okay, depending on whoever you want to sell it to? I'm just curious.
Let me ask your opinion.
Yeah, go ahead.
No one should have them.
Well, if we were to follow the president's own fiat, weapons of mass destruction are indeed inherently evil and all must be destroyed. I'm going to ask you, Rich, of the Log Cabin Republicans, to listen to yet another piece of tape. This is the president's own press conference, and he most expertly explains why the invasion of Iraq, not for oil, has been so successful and will continue to bring nothing but blessings to the Middle East.
Saddam Hussein is no longer a threat to the United States because we removed him. But he was a threat. He was a threat. He's not a threat now. And the world is more peaceful by virtue of the fact that he is not in power. We've been there, how many days? You're counting the days since we've been there, because I'm not. Frankly, it wasn't all that long ago that we started military operations. And we got rid of him, much faster than a lot of people thought. And so we're bringing some order to the country, and we're beginning to learn the truth. But he played his hand, Derry. He's Saddam Hussein. It's a matter of time. The man was a threat to America. He's not a threat today. But what we're really finding out as well is, we have uncovered some unbelievable scenes. I think I have not seen them myself. They've been described to me. He was a threat to America. He was a threat to freedom-loving countries. He was a threat in the Middle East. But what we're finding out is the nature of this man when it came to how he dealt with the Iraqi people as well. And it's unbelievable what he did. And when it comes to the AIDS initiative, we believe in human dignity. We also believe that everybody ought to live in free societies, too. And so we'll stay the course in Iraq. Thank you all very much.
Well, I'm not sure what to make of that, but then I'm not going to try and interpret it either. We're talking to Rich. He is a log cabin Republican. We're standing in front of your booth here, Rich, at the festival, and you have a full-sized cutout of President George W. Bush in color with a big ribbon on his chest. And
that's okay. That's no big deal.
We have a full-size cutout. So there is not a full-size cutout of George W. Bush here?
Yeah, you're simply trying to be antagonistic.
No, I'm just asking you, why don't you have one of Ashcroft? And what would happen if you did?
Because we don't support Ashcroft in the terms of what he had done previously on gays and lesbians, but we do support the efforts that he's made as the Attorney General.
Does it make you uncomfortable that I'm asking you these questions?
It makes me uncomfortable that you're disingenuous about it.
How's that? How am I disingenuous about asking you questions?
I think you're done now.
Oh, my.
I'm George W. Bush.
Nephews is in the house. soon as the beat drop, we got the streets locked overseas. A Punjabi MC in the rock. I came to see the mommies in the spot. On the count of three, drop your body like it's hot. One, young, two, you. One, two, three, young hoes. A snake charmer, move your body like a snake mama. Make me wanna put the snake on ya. I'm on my eighth summer, still hot. Young's the eighth wonder. All I do is get bread, yeah, I take wonder. I take one of your chicks straight from under your armpit. The black Brad Pitt, I'm act till 6 in the a.m. All day I'm P-I-M-P. I am simply attached to the track like Simpy. It's simply good, young ho, infinitely hood. O.C. and you don't stop. Kuja, B.M.C. and you don't stop. Nigga, N.Y.C. and we don't stop. Strap, R.O.C. and we don't stop. Kuja, B.M.C. and we don't stop. It's your boy Jay-Z and we don't stop. Nigga, R.O.C. we won't stop.
Okay, with Punjab MC in the background, and Eben has wormed his way through the hallway from the green room into the studio here on the 25th floor of the Arco Towers, overlooking beautiful downtown Los Angeles at the Kill Radio Studios. And let me get ready to introduce Eben. Again, we're listening to Punjab MC. This is the 6 p.m. Friday Kill Radio News, and we were listening a little earlier to one of Eben's CDs, and he's in the studio. Let me pot him up here. And let me see. Turn your mic on, Eben. Turn it up. Wait a minute. Hold on. I can't hear you. Okay, you're hot. You're hot.
I'm hot.
So tell us, the studio, the people weren't, the people were listening. A lot of people stuck around. We got a pretty big audience today. A lot of people stuck around. They were listening to your CD earlier, about an hour and a half ago. And tell us the name of it and what you've been doing, my brother.
The name of the CD is You Thought You Knew Me. It's basically me going around to anybody with a studio in their home and begging them to make at least one track with me. Have 50% of nothing. So I've got about three people here who decided to make a couple tracks with me and came up with the 50% of nothing idea. So the first one's called You Thought You Knew Me. That's the first CD. The next one will be called Now You Know. And after that, I'll do a third CD. It'll be called That's How It Is.
Okay, Eben grew up in Los Angeles. I think right around in this neighborhood. Right around the east side of Los Angeles. Or Pasadena, no.
No. I grew up in Venice. Mostly. Santa Monica.
I'm totally wrong. The other side of the city, west side of Los Angeles.
But I lived over here with you for a while.
Yeah, over here on the east side of Los Angeles. But Eben has a title, a song on this CD called Giovanni's Room. Based on the book by the great writer James Baldwin.
Right, right.
I read that book, Eben, about 4 years ago. A mutual friend turned me on to a beautiful fucking book, man.
Beautiful man, that friend of ours.
Yeah, Mark.
Mark Durham.
Yeah, yeah. We only got 30 more minutes, so we got to
keep talking.
If
you see him, please shout it out.
Tell me why you,
Okay, the story of the song.
Yeah, the song.
At the end of Giovanni's Room, the book, the main character has left, girlfriend has left him, his male lover is being killed, he's standing there, big drama. I wrote the song from the standpoint of what happened from that point on. And in my version, basically, nothing changes. He doesn't choose his own sexuality at all. He just stays confused, basically. Ends up with three children. And as he's being called for dinner by one of the children, he's also getting ready to go out to a gay bar at the same time.
Okay, how can people reach you? Because this is a great song. There's a couple cool songs on here.
Yeah. If you want the CD, you can email me at ebco@speakeasy.net. That's ebco@speakeasy.net. I will respond. I'll even do a 2-for-1 deal. You can have two CDs for the price of one, $6.99.
Don't you have a website too? You know?
No, I don't.
Okay. Or they can contact me here at the studio. I'm Hassan. My email is HassanJ53. At yahoo.com. But Eben, before Eben goes off the air.
Or if you're in Seattle, you can pick it up at Everyday Music.
Okay, but I want you to give all that information again when the song's done right before you check out of the studio here. So let's go into Giovanni's Room on Eben's CD here.
You Thought You Knew Me.
Yeah, yeah.
Giovanni's Room. Giovanni.
Okay, why isn't it coming off?
Wife calls you for dinner, and you go to wash your hands. You see his face in the mirror again and again. Every time you look back, never escape the pain. What the love you felt back then. Your children call your name, tell you the food's on the table, but you have no intention of eating with your family tonight. Getting ready for the bars, but you can't get him out of your mind. Cause you remember parents, yeah. Last time you felt like a man. Last time you felt that sweetness. You were in Giovanni's room. Giovanni's room. Giovanni's room. Giovanni's room. If the lamp could talk, then the ceiling would sing now. The walls would cry out the promises that they heard you made. And your wife and kids can't change the fact that you fell in love with a man. And you still have an unprotected sex with all you can. And how do you tell somebody that 10 years ago you fell in love and you lost everything in your heart to a man in a room? You can see the light shining through the window. Feel the leaves rustle right outside the door. You remember past, yeah. The last time you felt like a man. The last time you felt that sweetness. You were in Giovanni's room. Giovanni's room. Giovanni's room.
Butterfly wing. If this government's not a conspiracy, it ought to be. Slide your memory into something besides a DVD. It's encrypted, a stray vein. Comes with the chemo more than words on a page. So stop acting ignorant. Remember, you have a mind, so use it. Emmett Till, or that brother got his ass dragged in Texas. There's nothing they can say about this. My fortune cookie says, you will find your solution where you least expect it. Shout out to Mark Durham. Thank you, Hassan, for letting me come on your show.
Well, again, one more time, how can we reach you?
Again,
slowly, twice.
Slowly, twice. You can reach me at ebco@speakeasy.net. That's E-B-B as in boy, C-O, at speakeasy, S-P-E-A-K-E-A-S-Y.net. Or you can call me at 206-465-1819. Just like Mike Jones, that's my phone number.
And you can always reach him by emailing me here at the studio. And if no, Evan said, if I accept that. Thanks for saying thank you. But this isn't my show. This is 6 p.m. news. This is station time. My show is Monday night at midnight. This is what we consider a collective time here when we do the news. We do the news every weekday at 6 p.m. I was honored to be able to do it on Fridays. And give me a little more time on the air. But you can email me here if you want to get some information on how to get Eben's CD. And again, my email is hassanj53@yahoo.com. And, you know, actually, let's go back into this next cut on Eben's. What are we listening to now, Eben?
The Autobiography. The Autobiography.
Well, let's go into this. We might even go out with this. How long are you going to be down here, Evan?
I'll be here till the 10th. 10th of July.
To the 10th of July. And when are you going to the studio again? Or?
As soon as I get back.
They have a lot of studios up there in Seattle?
Yeah, and it's cheap. So I urge anybody who wants to make tracks, contact me. I will put you on the next album. You can have 50% of nothing. You are welcome to share half of whatever it is we make together.
Well, let me say this, man. You know, I've kind of been watching your career. I've known you about, like 7 or 8 years? And I mean, this each CD gets better and better, Evan. This one's pretty good.
Well, I'm becoming quite an executive producer.
The first one that you made, me and Mark used it as frisbees. We were flying it.
Why you want to talk smack, mother? I'll hurt your one feeling if you start talking smack.
Only
how come those condoms I gave you expired?
Okay, I know this is internet radio, but we have to, you know. Okay. So like, you actually do a tune on here about Roe versus Wade, man.
Yeah. It's a pro-choice tune, and it's really important. I mean, I think that women are gonna have to start fighting for their rights. That's my opinion.
Well, let's go into that. Actually, let's play that because I like
that's,
that.
That's track five.
Track five.
That's track five.
Okay, hold on. Okay, did you want to set it up before I start?
Well, basically, you know, no, without Malcolm, what Martin wanted to happen wouldn't have happened. Without Nehru, Gandhi never would have got over. And if women don't find somebody who's willing to go to war and shoot one of these senators in the head for their rights,
ouch.
Then they're not going to get what they need in terms of civil rights for women and what they do with their bodies. So the song is about, it's a fierce pro-choice.
Because me and Evan both love our sisters.
Yes.
Love our female partner. So we're going to go out with Evan because I think I just heard Xenophone getting off of the elevator up here on the 28th floor of the Arco Towers overlooking beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
Yes.
And Xenophone comes on at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
He does a great show too, Evan. You ought to check him out. Yeah, great show.
I believe you.
A lot of tribal world music. Yeah. So let's go into...
Pro-choice.
Pro-choice.
The Ready. Next voice you hear will be George Bush Sr.
Wade was wrong and should be overturned. And I think when it comes to abortion,
the United States does not consider abortion an acceptable element of family planning programs.
Roe against Wade.
Whack attack is back. Republican armies infiltrate your consciousness and jack the facts. Like a squirrel the nut up a tree, you think you're free, G. Till they cut off your face and spit down your neck. Or your sister gets pregnant but she can't get rid of it. Cause they shot the doctor at the clinic. Now she's having a little baby Brooklyn, which you still don't care. Well now she's got an ounce of despair. But you don't understand cause you're not the man to king. And frankly like Clark said, discard it. You don't give a damn. Not even phonics make you understand this. My mother and my sis aborted a few kids. Why? Cause they couldn't afford to feed me. So how could the fetuses live? And I see you standing in the corner talking about how it's murder and crying out for justice. But I don't see you adopting anybody that's homeless. So I have this to say to all you anti-abortionists. I like to bend you over, fuck you in the ass, and make you keep the kid. Yeah, you keep the kid. Yeah, you keep the kid. Give him the voice. Pro-choice. We're giving a voice to pro-choice.
You shouldn't have to bear a child and give it up to strangers just because the state of Texas says so.
Preachers in the pulpit popping cherries, fucking berries. Shit is scary, don't nothing scare me but y'all. Bible in the one hand, hanger in the other. Block a new mother from entering the clinic. Cynic! I'm spitting in your eye, your daughter's mine. This shit is ridiculous. If men could get pregnant, we wouldn't even be dealing with this. There'd be clinics popping up like Jack in the Boxes. Sick hypocrites. You're lucky I don't hit you with the back of my hand.
Thank you. The New York Times, lo and behold, was uncritical of this information given by Chalabi, and that they therefore supported. They therefore supported this buildup for the war, the most prestigious newspaper in the United States, and therefore for all the world. As I said, it's a mouthpiece of the rich and powerful in this country. And so now they have decided that they're not going to back up this war anymore, and they're against Bush, the way he is running the war, because they see it's a disaster happening, and their interests are not being well served by the way Bush is running the war. They're the other faction of the rich people. It's a division now, and therefore we see this self-criticism as more and more people are attacking Bush, and it looks like Bush might not get reelected, but we'll have John Kerry. He will follow the same basic strategy, but he will do it in a different way so that they can be part of cutting up the pie that is the oil of Iraq. So at this time, we are going to go to an interview.